Praise God. You wear the victor's crown, amen. Praise Jesus. We are glad you can join us today online. We're blessed to be in here today serving Mosville Community Church and those who've chose to join us today online. It's a joy to be with you. Last week we started looking at the book of Revelation. Well, we started looking at letters that were written in the book of Revelation. They are letters written to seven churches. Last week, we started a series in these letters looking at why they matter and what we can learn from them. John the Apostle and servant of the Lord, we read of him in Revelation 1, wrote the messages down while he was in the island of Patmos, banished there because of his faith. We understand this was during a time of persecution of Jews and Christians, most likely during the reign of Roman Emperor Domitian. Now, understand this, Domitian was the first emperor who actually insisted on the title of Caesar the Lord or God the Lord. Each of these letters follows a fairly similar pattern to the angel of the church in a given city. Right, Jesus then says, I know and offer some praise, but I have this against you. Offer some reprimand where that is necessary. The one who has ears must pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says. Then finishes with a promise relating to the end times or the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. And then the glorious return of the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. These are promises of great encouragement for you and I today. And I want to try and focus as much on the encouragement in these letters or within these letters as much as possible. Why? As an incentive to every one of us to live godly lives in the midst of trials and tribulations and so much uncertainty. Here's the statement I want to make from the outset. And this is why the church today is still being persecuted. So I say this with confidence. The church of Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ is active. And the church of Jesus Christ is growing still today. The persecution of Christians is getting more and more severe than ever before, affecting increasing numbers of believers right around the globe, right around the world. And an overview of persecution trends for us today, I believe, will help you and I better have an understanding of the situation and perhaps equip even us today to pray for our brothers and sisters who are following Jesus no matter what the cost. And for many, there was a high cost that they are willing to pay. You know, for the first time since Open Door started compiling the World Watch List, all top 50 countries score at least a very high levels of persecution. 12 countries are categorized as having extreme levels of persecution, up from 11 the year before. And there are another 24 countries scoring very high or high levels of persecution that don't even make it in to the top 50. Listen to this fact for us today. 340 million spirit-filled believers around the world are being persecuted for their faith. Hear this. 5,000 spirit-filled believers were murdered for their faith last year. And nearly 4,500 churches and Christian buildings were attacked last year. So what we are going to read today in Revelation chapter 2 verses 8 through 11 doesn't only relate to a long time ago in New Testament days. Even if, listen to this, even if Christians are not being arrested for their faith or put to death here in Scotland, it's happening to other faiths in all parts of the world as we speak. Let's look at this letter today. It's an incredible letter written to the church at Smyrna. Now understand this, Smyrna was apparently a beautiful city located on the coast about 40 miles north of Ephesus. It was one of the most prosperous cities of Asia. Within the city of Smyrna, there was a hill called Pagos. And around this particular hill, there was many pagan temples that had been built. And because it looked like a crown, Smyrna was also called the crown of Asia. And that explains a reference that we find later on in this letter. Furthermore, we discover that a temple had been built to worship the emperor. And so a great deal of pressure and a great deal of persecution had now come upon the church because of their unwillingness to say, Caesar is Lord or God is Lord. Within this same community, there was also a community of Jews who were hostile to the Christian faith, as we will read. But look at this closer today. The name Smyrna actually means myrrh. And it is very fitting because myrrh is a perfume. The fragrance of which is only released by crushing. Hear this today. Here is a church of spirit-filled believers that is being crushed through persecution. And to the church in the city of Smyrna, then the Lord Jesus Christ addressed them with these words from verse 8 onwards. Listen to this. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. Amen. Praise God. He says, I know your afflictions, I know your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say that they are Jews but are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. Wow. He said in verse 10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Jesus says, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Verse 11, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Amen. Praise God for his word. What is significant about this letter is that Jesus himself has absolutely no criticism for the church in Smyrna. In 5 of the 7 letters to the churches, it's told in some way of some sort of criticism, but the churches in Smyrna and Philadelphia are all about commendation. However, let me say this to you. Even when churches are doing well, they still need encouragement. Even when pastors and leaders and ministers are doing well, they still need encouragement. And even when you are doing well spiritually, someone needs to say, hey, you're doing well. We still need encouragement and cautions to the things of God, because not one of us has arrived yet at our spiritual destination. Jesus starts this letter by saying, these are the words to him who is the first and the last. Amen. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, we see here straight away the roots of the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. Because 3 times in the book of Isaiah, in chapters 41, 44, and 48, the Lord declares that he is the first and the last. In fact, Isaiah chapters 40 through to chapter 48 emphasizes there is only one God. Oh, it's getting dangerous now because we're online. We're talking about this only one God situation. Let's take that a step further. And using these words, Jesus, the Son of Man, is claiming divinity. He's saying only God is the first and the last. Only God is the beginning and the end. Only God is eternal. And Jesus right here is claiming this of himself. And we are stating this to be true in the kingdom of God today. You may ask yourself, but why is Jesus saying here at the offset that he is the first and the last to a church where believers are being put to death? He does so, listen to this, he does so in order to communicate to this church that he rules over all. No matter what's happening, how bleak and gloomy it is, he is still in control of it all and rules over it all. And he's basically saying to the church, nothing happens or nothing is going to happen to them which is outside of his control. He's saying, hey, dearly beloved, today you can still put your trust in me. Amen. And then Jesus says concerning the end times which we are living in today. Listen to this in Luke chapter 21. Jesus speaking, you will be betrayed. You as the people of God will be betrayed by parents, by brothers and sisters and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Jesus goes on to say, everyone will hate you because of me, but listen to these words, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Hallelujah. And praise God. That promise there, let me be clear here, that promise there is not about immunity from bodily harm. No, sir. Jesus is talking here about the resurrection of the dead. We know that because of what Jesus did, we will all live again. Hallelujah. Every last one of us. Yes, hey, we could possibly die for the gospel, but in dying for the gospel, we would gain eternal life with Jesus. Praise God and amen. And even if we die, it's all good when the child of God passes away. We still get this guarantee that we live with the assurance that the Lord is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. That he, the Lord Jesus, is taking care of us. The Lord Jesus is watching over us. And we do not have to fear. In fact, we've been invited here to trust Jesus directly in the middle of our trials and our difficulties. So look at this letter again in Revelation chapter 2. Check out the first part of this. The Lord says, I know your afflictions. I know your afflictions. The Greek word in there means distresses. I'm guessing that many of us have come under some sort of distress or pressure over the last year as we've had to travel through this journey within this pandemic. But here it is a picture of the church of being crushed or crushing. It is this unending pressure that seems to be upon them. I see your afflictions. Then Jesus says, I know your poverty. I know your afflictions and I know your poverty, yet you are rich. Listen, we do not know exactly what made them poor. We've heard already that Smyrna was a prosperous city, but it may have been, now watch this, it may have been that this poverty is actually caused by the persecutions that this church are having to endure or having to experience. We could say here the believers' jobs, their homes, their status, or perhaps all their possessions have been taken away, because we know this was common in the life of the early church in times of great persecutions. Yet the Lord says, and this is for us today, even though we may not have nothing of worldly possessions and of material things, the Lord says their fellowship within the congregations, and it was their families that made them rich. Indeed, hallelujah, and praise God. Scripture here, I believe, is reminding you and I that money and status for the child of God will never be what life is about. It will never be about these things. We are rich if we know Jesus. We are rich if we know the Lord. You have the greatest blessing of all if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You have the joy of knowing the love of God in your life, and the depth of my love and your love is what will make these other things seem like nothing. If we know Jesus and if we love Jesus, we are rich in more ways than we can comprehend or imagine, and all the sufferings that we face, all the crushing that we may have to endure in our lives. And I know that some of us who are looking in today have gone through a season of crushing, but understand this, the word of the Lord for you is, as you go through the crushing, He will bring things out of your life for His glory, hallelujah, that you never knew were in there in the first place, but you have to allow Him to take you through this process to see what God actually has put in your life. And it's worth it all to get through that process. It's worth it all to know that we belong to Jesus. Amen. And amen and amen. Then it goes on to say, watch this. Watch this. He says, Jesus says, I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Whoa. Can you imagine hearing these words? See, persecution comes to so many countries in so many different ways, and people die. There's a high price to pay. We're living in the West. We're living in the United Kingdom, and the persecution that comes against us is different. It's much more subtle. It is almost clever the way the opposition and the enemy comes against the church and comes against the voice of the Spirit and comes against the Lord. But if you look at this back here in New Testament days, it's almost similar in many ways to, I believe, what is happening today and what's going on in the world. You see, regarding the church at Smyrna, there was a smear campaign going against these believers. Yes, there was. Lies were being told about them. Lie after lie is told about them. And we know from early literature that because Christians talked about eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ, they were being accused of cannibalism. They were accused of being cannibals. And you can imagine the reaction that that brought against them. Also, on top of this smear campaign that went on, because these believers refused to visit these pagan temples or to acknowledge the gods of pagans, they began to call them atheists. So the people of God, the children of God, were being treated with scorn in a culture permeated with and by idolatry. Back in the New Testament, we talk this way as well. Christians talk often about being members of the same body, members of the one body, of loving each other in Christ Jesus. And so because of their talk, because of the way they said things, they have now been accused in this smear campaign of having sexual orgies. This kind of slander, listen to this. Listen to this, the talk here today. This kind of slander, called fake news today. That's what it's all about. Slander and fake news is what produced much of the persecution for the early church, for these early believers. Hey, take a look, go home, look on YouTube. You go ahead and see some of the absolutely outrageous, ridiculous accusations that have been made against Christians, been made against the Church of Jesus Christ today. And can I say, and this kind of breaks my heart sadly, most of these come from others claiming to believers. This came here, we are told, from false Jews. These were physical descendants of Abraham, and they had a synagogue right there in the middle of Smyrna, but they persecuted these children of God, proving they did not have any spiritual clarity or spiritual insight. They were in effect a synagogue of Satan, and they were far removed from being true children of Abraham. Now be clear, let me be very clear here, I am not implying on any case whatsoever that Jewish people are satanic, but there was this part, this fact, that were pretending to be authentic Jews when they were simply a falsehood in God's eyes. He was speaking here in this context of Jews who were responsible for the imprisonment and the death of believers, the death of Christians. And we might stand back and wonder this morning, how could a loving God sit by and let people, or let his people, suffer? It's almost like that same question that we are asked time and time again. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, hey, wake up today, would you, and take notice of who is causing all the bad things. It is the enemy of our soul. It is Satan. It is the devil. We are told we live in a world where Satan is the prince. And understand this morning. He has influence. He has control. It's just for a season, and it's just for a time. But this influence can be brought to bear on my life and your life. We've been encouraged here by the Lord himself to entrust our lives completely and solely into the care and the hands of Jesus Christ, knowing that he is good and he works things out for our good and for our benefit. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand here and wring my hands saying that Satan and other human beings have ruined my life or ruined your life. What I will say is this: I don't deny the evil that those people have done, but we recognize, hear this, we recognize that at the end of the day, the evil done by the devil and the evil done by human beings can actually become a tool in the hands of Jesus. We could almost say what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. Amen. Notice that Jesus here tells the church at Smyrna in verse 8 that he is the one, Jesus, he is the one that came. He is the one that died, and he is the one that came to life. And if you look here, you will see these words are addressed to believers actually who are facing death. And Jesus reminds them right here that he also faced death. Death. And we could say it this way, that for a moment or two, death conquered Jesus. But we know today that death did not finally win. No way, no sir. Jesus finally triumphed over death on our behalf, and I'm sure we're all glad about that today. But if you look at this scripture, you will see that Jesus is warning the church in Smyrna that suffering is coming, and he calls upon them at this time to not be afraid. Understand this. Maybe you're different from me, but I cannot conquer fear on my own. I cannot overcome fear by myself. Only my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can help me overcome and conquer the fears that I have had in my life. And by his grace and mercy, and I say thank God, he's allowed me to overcome these fears and have courage in my life. And then he's given me strength to do the things that I've not been able to do. But with his strength, his power, his courage, I've now been able to overcome and conquer these things. Now verse 10 tells the readers, it gets a little bit more difficult here. Verse 10 tells the readers that they'll be thrown into prison for 10 days. Now we know in Revelation, numbers are often used symbolically. We understand the number 10 is all about completion, and 10 days here indicates that the suffering will not last. It will be completed and it will come to an end. And so he challenges, and I am challenging you today, he challenges the believers in verse 10, be faithful. Amen. Be faithful even to the point of death. He's reflecting and saying, hey, you remember, they spat on my face. They beat me up. They lied about me. So dear child of God, today, if you're listening in this morning, as a believer, we will endure mistreatment in this generation. There'll be misjudgment. There may be things that are said against us, but we have to remember the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what that is like for He Himself went through that for you and I. And when we draw this all back, and when we begin to think about what others can do to us, I mean, honestly, what is the worst they can do to me? Yes, they could take my life. Yes, they could end my life. Yes, someone could take me out. And I don't want to stand here and sound flippant or belittle the pain and suffering of believers. Not for one moment would I want to do that. But I want to say this. The Lord deposited this scripture in my heart just this week. And it burns within me this very morning from Matthew 10 verse 28. Where the Lord says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, for they cannot kill the soul. Hallelujah. You never heard that this morning, so say it again. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, for they cannot kill the soul. He says, rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Oh, can we talk about hell at Mossvale? We'll talk about heaven and hell all day long, because they're relevant to the end times, and they're relevant to our lives today. Understand this again. They cannot ultimately take your life or take my life again. So where does my courage come from? Where does your courage come from? I'll tell you where my courage comes from. It comes from the assurance that we will never die. Hallelujah. That's where my assurance comes from. The Lord goes on to say in verse 32 of that same chapter in Matthew, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Understand this, dear ones, today. The worst thing, and I would say, do your worst. The worst thing people can do to us can't finally and forever hurt us. No, sir. Understand this. Jesus has triumphed over death, and so will you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God to that today. Hear my words today. Being faithful means that they and we must confess, and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and He only. What that means for you and I today is that we must forever and never deny the truth that the Lord Jesus is the exclusive and only way to salvation. Faithful to His words. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Faithful to scriptures and saying today, there is only one God. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Faithful today because Jesus promises that those who are faithful, hey, will receive the victor's crown, the crown of life. How many of you have got that crown on already? Well, you should have, because that is life and life more abundantly. Understand this today. The crown of Asia, the pagan temples were a recognition of earthly status, but it gets better. Hallelujah. Glory to God for the child of God, for the Lord says that He will give us something far greater, something far better. He will give you and I a crown of life that is eternal life. What a greater reward that is for the child of God today. He speaks directly into your home today, and He says to you, I will give you life as your victor's crown. Amen. Praise God. Put it on this morning. The word life here further explains the word crown. In other words, the crown. The crown. The crown is life itself. We used to sing a song that went, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Then it says, when I get to heaven, gonna walk all around, have everlasting life. I'm gonna sit by my daddy and put on my crown, hath everlasting life. But we're wearing the crown now for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your right and that is your inheritance. Hear me today. Hear me today. We will only receive eternal life if we stay true, if we remain faithful to Jesus. But if we are faithful, we will receive this life, and we're walking in this life right now that never ends. That's why we wake up in the morning and go, hallelujah! Praise Jesus! I'm alive today and forevermore, and nothing can take that from you. Praise God. Those who overcome, we sung it, those who conquer, hear the good news in this letter, are never going to be injured by the second death. The second death, oh, it's getting a little bit more scary this morning now, guys. The second death is the lake of fire. Oh, can we talk about that? Can we talk in church about the lake of fire and damnation and hell? That this is the symbol of the final judgment of the impenitent, those who refuse the gospel of the grace of God. It is prepared for the devil and his angels. But listen to this. It will be shared by those who choose the enemy's way or Satan's way. We see this in Revelation 20 and then verse 21 and verse 20, verse 14. The lake of fire is the second death. Hear this. These are hard words in Revelation 21 verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the occult, the idolaters, all the liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is the second death. I want no part of that. No part of that. Understand this. Let's be clear in what's been written here. Every single man, woman, and child are injured by the first death. Every one of us will physically die. But the death, the death that really matters is the second death. But if today, hear me now, listen in, open up the ears, hear what the Spirit is saying. If we put our trust solely in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we continue to trust Him until the end, then the second death cannot touch you and I. Praise God. Jesus, why? Because Jesus, it's all about Jesus yet again. Jesus has already borne the punishment of the second death for us if we really belong to Him. Therefore, church today, we look forward. It's begun now for many of us to be in God's presence forever. I love what Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Paul speaks again in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We are constantly encouraged by the fact that these trials and testings and pressure are doing something valuable in us and through us and to us. Verse 11 of Revelation 2 states again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I believe the message and letter is actually really, really relevant and simple. Jesus is stating and saying, if you listen to what this letter is saying, and if you put all your trust completely in me, particularly in times of pressure and persecution, and when you go through the crushing, I will give you, and I have already given it to you, eternal life. And if you do this, you'll have nothing to fear when the day of judgment arrives at your door today. I wonder, have you put your entire trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me then ask you, how faithful as a child of God would you say you are today? Well, hear me. Be encouraged. Your efforts What you're doing for God will not go unnoticed. I will say this to you today. God will reward those who stand firm despite difficulties. I believe we can be assured of that today. And something else where we can have assurance, we can also be assured that He will not make us bear more than He and you and I can bear together. It's what Paul rejoices in Romans 8 verse 38, 39. And I'm convinced of this too. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you heard the word of the Lord today? Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you have offered to every man, woman, and child the victor's crown. Praise God. We start to put on the victor's crown today, Lord, because the moment we said yes to Jesus, eternal life began for us as a child of God. Lord, I would pray today for those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and to individuals today, Lord God. Particularly, Lord, those perhaps who've fallen away, where the crown is a little bit slanted or fallen off the back of some heads. We thank you, Lord, through repentance and forgiveness, that crown can rest upon our forehead once again with assurance and with faith in Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, God, your word is life. Your word is power. We pray today, Lord, that every single person looking in would understand they are called by God to live for God and be a child of God. Lord, for the decisions that we have to make, we pray we do them under the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer and fasting and waiting in you, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, for the reward that is promised and guaranteed for us today, that we need not be concerned. We need not to live with a spirit of fear today. We need not live in this world of uncertainty, because you've given us assurance of who you are and who we are, and our identity as man of God, woman of God, child of God. We thank you, Lord. The price has been paid. You have done it all for us, Lord. Now all we have to say is yes to Jesus, yes to your will, yes to your ways, yes to your plans, yes to all that you have for us, Lord. But Lord, we would not settle for anything than a full-on relationship with Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you and we rejoice today in your presence that you are for us. And if you are for us, no man can stand or come against us. No matter what the voice of the enemy says, no matter what the voice of man says, today we stand here with truth in our hands and we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. There is no other way. There is no other plan B. It was achieved on the cross when you laid down your life and when you shed your blood. And I pray today, hallelujah and glory to God, that those listening in would turn away from any foolishness or any sinful ways, get on their knees, humble themselves in the sight of God, cry out to the living God and say, God, would you rescue me? God, would you save me? Because Lord, today I want to walk around with the victor's crown on my forehead, realizing that my future is assured and certain in the kingdom of God, and my destination, my home, is in heaven. We pray blessing on the word of God today. May it go right in there and stay in there, we pray in Jesus' name. Now would you stand with us today, whether you're at home or whether you're just one and two sitting here today, and let's worship God and let's thank God and let's honor God for giving us this hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We pray blessing in you today in Jesus' name. Amen.